All right, last we learned Simon Pei Dalet Sifyat Aleph. As I mentioned last time, the site of the Sif is that people who are Poshea in the Kashrus of Bedikas Teloim should not be trusted a second time. There's no second chances in Halacha. Someone is a Poshea once, was never allowed to be trusted, and the Shach brings from Sivkatan and Sivkatan Lamed Vav, the same thing is true about a Tabach. Last week I mentioned in a moment of weakness a product or two that fall under this category. And my point was that the Kashrus organizations today routinely ignore this Halacha, and places that are caught bemezid are allowed to continue with a warning and whatever other types of insurances are placed, put in place that it not happen again, they are allowed to do it again. I mentioned a particular product which the OU gives a hechsher on. Monday morning I got a call from one of the Rabbanim and Machshirim in the OU, and he told me that two things. First of all, the incident took place over 30 years ago, and the person who was doing it is not alive anymore. Which means that even though he said he wasn't in the organization 30 years ago, he doesn't know what the cheshbonis were, but today that particular product is not a problem. And secondly, I had mentioned that many of the Hefsha organizations don't use that product. So he told me he knows that the Star Candy, okay, didn't use it for many years, but now that they do use it, and there could be many other Echsherim use it as well, and whatever was, and the Mitzvah's changed. So in Kavala Hunikavel, it's fine. But the site I was saying, if you ignore the individual product I mentioned, is still true, that it's routine that organizations, that companies are caught, and a second chance is given. And what he told me was that, well, the poor Hechsher organizations are going to cancel Hechsherim every time they catch someone fooling them, then they can't stay in business. Something like that. Which is a little frightening. Maybe shouldn't stay in business, I don't know. But this is, those are the words he told me. The Hechsher organizations can't function. I shouldn't say, he didn't say can't stay. He didn't say can't stay in business. I think what he meant is he can't compete in the business. Because just go to somebody else and do it. But it's so frightening to hear such a statement made by a major kashrus organization, which means that although the particular product I mentioned, apparently the Mitzvah has changed, we hope for the better, but the underlying thing that I said, that the way kashrus is today, this halach is ignored, that happens to be confirmed by the phone call that it is that way, and it's unfortunate.
It's in God we trust.
It's a problem. In God we trust. Yeah, nobody else.
Is that sort of the same problem or not?
What?
Is
it the Yisrael? I can't say. I don't know. I don't know that Yisrael is the same. There's a tendency to be more kanoistic in Eretz Yisrael, and I would hope it's better there. I it's sad. It's a very sad thing because you're talking about someone who fools you with Shia in business, you would never do business with such a person again. And all right, that's what I look. Like I said, the individual product I mentioned last week, so he's saying that it's not so anymore. And I'm a Kabbalist, and I look at you, that's what he tells me. But the fact that they run this way is not a good thing. What? We hope they didn't give it off of Yerusha there.
Does it matter
I don't want to get any more trouble than I am. It's not a good situation. It's It's what? Yeah, you do need a hash organization, because even the most erelicha person who opens up a competent restaurant doesn't know what to use, what's better to use, what's not better to use, and it's that's
it's impossible.
I'm not answering for them. I like I said, it's a concern. The kashrus in America goes in cycles. It gets better. There's a point where it improves, and then everyone gets lackadaisical again, and it trails off. And then something happens and makes them be mischazik again. I think one of the magazines had questions and answer year after Muncie. What changed? And the answer basically was nothing. I was at a meeting 2 weeks after the Muncie. It was a meeting of kashrus organizations. And there was this whole plan that was going to be in place by Hanukkah with different types of temples and everything. And it was being in place by Hanukkah, but they didn't say which year. And I don't know. I'm sure that they really mean to fix things, but business is business. Kashrus was not supposed to be a business. Kashrus originally was supposed to be the community. Rav gets paid anyway. He has a salary anyway. He checks the kashrus. And if he stops the kashrus, he doesn't lose a penny. And that's ideally the way it should be. It's a dream that it should be that way. And well, if a city has a kehila like the KAJ, the KAJ is a kehila, and the kehila supports the rav, doesn't get a penny more or a penny less if they drop a hechsher. The person giving the hechsher has the salary has nothing to do with hechsher.
But the kehila gets
the kehila gets less money. The kehila could absorb it. A kehila. No, it's a very big difference. A kehila could absorb it. The truth is that besides the money, there's the pride. Pride is a major thing. We know everybody has a certain amount of pride, and as long as there's a competition, there's going to be a pride. It's an issue.
Now, the Belsky was here, he spoke about an incident that happened a few years ago.
Yes.
He talked about the chicken that fell off, that they basically try to fool them and try to push it off. So, again, we asked the.
But it continued. They have to continue.
But they continue. Now, they're not the main half of it, but why shouldn't they say, no, we can't do.
Because it's a major account and it's a lot of money.
That's
all right, I'm not here to lambast the actual organizations. There are a lot of problems. It's better to know a little less. And Simach, I don't know. It's very unpleasant. It's very, very unpleasant. What? Which is? I don't know.
The sif is not necessarily talking about any pshiyu, anything he does that. This is by Medika Tzalam, which is a shadow of the Raisa. Kabach is also the best.
Okay, let's see. What? Okay, what should I tell you? It's a problem, I don't know.
You know, the, you
what should I tell you? Now, what are you going to do when you have a Rav who gives 6 Hechsherim and he can't make ends meet in his life, and you know he's a very hard time, he's giving 6 or 10 Hechsherim, and that's his parnasa. So he's going to drop a Hechsher. I mean, it's gotta be very hard for a person like that to drop a Hechsher. That's his parnasa. A lot of these Rabbanim have shuls with 20 people in their shul, and some don't even have shuls, and they have no parnasa. They give a dozen Hechsherim or something, or however many, so they could afford to drop a Hechsher over just kashrus issues, you know, like it's... it's really not... The way it's set up is not good. What should I tell you? You know, we had a cholum that the Flatbush showed the Rabbanim. We actually needed over 100 Rabbanim to set up a tequila. Ended up with 6 or 8 Rabbanim, and the Rabbanim don't get paid a penny. And that was the dream. The truth is, the Rabbanim, myself included, are involved. Not just we don't get it paid, but when there's a shortage at the end of the year, we fill in whatever's missing. You know, we have to put in some money. So, you know, it was a chalom. But even there, it's not so posh. Even there, it didn't become that whole Flatbush follows just kehila. There are other hechsherim. So recently someone applied to a hechsher, a restaurant. We felt they needed a mashkiach tamidi. And in the Chas Shom, I have nothing bad with her. So right before he opened, he took Chassidus Shehechsher, a reliable person. Why did he take Chassidus Shehechsher? He doesn't require Mashgiach to meet him. So how could Rabbanim get together and fix up something in a community? The people in the community don't know the difference. Someone asked me, is that Rav reliable? He's a reliable person. But you want to have in a busy restaurant, a Mashgiach Tamidi, you know, they have a firm person. The firm person is also, you know, behind the counter, taking the money and doing, he's running all over. The fire goes out in the kitchen and the guy turns it on, who knows. So, you know, you want in a busy place to have Mashgiach Tamidi. So you think a kehila could get together and organize something. But you can't because there's no community pressure for it. What? What? Flatbush. All right, no, it's the community. The community. It's not that people don't care. It's that it's a competition. If the person who came in instead would have been a not reliable person, the guy wouldn't have made business. But he is a reliable person. But it's like everything else. You shop around for the best price. I don't blame the owner of the place. You know, with us he needed Mashgiach Tamidi. With us he had certain restrictions on Shabbos. And this is an Erlich Yid, he's Chassidish Yid, who Amir Lakum at Chassidim Derek Klal, they hold more Kula Dikashitas. And so Shabbos is easier for him, and no Mashgiach Tamidi is saving a lot of money. So it's a tremendous difference. It's,
does the Rav find in the catering halls is more reliable than the restaurants? Because we generally go to
Chasna's. Chasna's halls that are kashered over are generally the worst.
No, I'm talking about ones which are steady.
The ones that are steady? I don't know. I don't know anything. I know places that are kashered. I mentioned many times. hotels that are kashered, you could eat the bilkalach. Right. And the other cold things. But the hot things, it could be done properly. It could be done. I'm not starting up at anybody. We had enough, but I'm just telling you that, I'll give you an example, just a practical example of my life, that it's very hard to institute things that are better. It's just hard. Why should, can I ask you a question? Why should someone take a better hechsher? Not a better, a good hechsher, but a hechsher as a chumrah. Why would anybody in their right mind, an honest, erlich person, why would he take a hechsher that costs him another $20,000 a year because he has to have a shkiach tamidi? Then Hashem does. I mean, it's his money. It's money out of his pocket. If there would be a kehila that does it, see, Satmar has it now because Satmar started that they train the kids to eat only their hechsher. So you know, stores are upset. You know, I'm kosher, but so what? They train the kids only their hechsher. So now other places that have good hechsherim have to take Satmar on top of everything else because otherwise they can't sell Oizberg. They won't sell it. So, you know, and for the business end, people have a timer. But on the other hand, at least it is that way. Anyway, let's learn what says in Shulchan Aruch, and I don't. Sif Yud Gimel. Or Sif Yud Beis. All right, there are a few sifim left here in the Shulchan Aruch. They're basic. Most of them are quick sifim. This is a topic which we discussed already in the past. Let's see if you're basing a gimel. Here we're talking about merkachas, a spread, something with, let's say, honey in it and other products. Shenaflu l'saychay nemalin. And insects fell in. V'avur alayim yud beis chaydish. Now, we said earlier that if 12 months pass, you can assume that insects disintegrated and they over 12 months they don't exist. But in a honey-based mix, yesh l'stapik behem. Mehasha devash darkei lahamed advayrim nitvanim b'saychay. Honey has a tendency to preserve. Honey is a natural preservative. That's why honey cake lasts forever. Almost forever. But honey cake doesn't need artificial preservatives. Honey cake, if it has honey in it, it has lasts forever. Sugar is also preserved. That's why a hard cookie also lasts a long time because it has a lot of sugar in it. And there's usually not enough salt in the thing, but sugar is plenty. So these things are preserved. That's why these things last a long time. So it preserves something in it. And Mimela, it's a problem here, because here, the creatures that are in it will be preserved, and we don't have an umdina that it's going to that it's going to melt. Aye, there are other chazals that say the opposite. That say that something that falls into honey disintegrates into it becomes honey. The vash turns it into whatever it is. So the Shach says it's if cotton lamed zayin. A complete thing that falls in gets preserved. He has the word hashleimim, which is not in the Shulchan Aruch. Al dvarim anichtachim anayful mesaychai, darkei lemaher limchais velichlais. Something that's cut up that falls in, the teva is that it melts into it. Ken kosav arashim v'tshuva simen pei, v'chen kosav ben yayna b'perketzim avarchim. Shederach hadvash lahazir achatichas isa shenafalahem l'sham dvash. The thing that's in it gets turned into dvash. Vafarosha mashbaloi nechalik olav. Even the rush doesn't argue. Ella mitab shabaf al pishadibcha nice l'teichel l'shvach. Shach is worried by somebody that's more than a 60th and it melts and gives tam l'shvach. But here by bugs, where it's less than a 60th. So the be'en would disappear if it's something cut up. And there's no nisinas tam, and memela the dvash is mutter.
The rationale that a whole thing will be preserved in a part.
I don't think it's something that has to do with svara. It has to do with tzias. I once asked Dr. Babbage to find out for me why it is this way. I think he confirmed that it's this way, but he doesn't know why. That something which is whole, maybe the skin it doesn't get changed, and the flesh does. I don't know. Maybe the flesh is the skin is a barrier to whatever it is. But at any rate, this is the Matthias of Devash. I saw in the, when I was learning Bava Basra, in the first Perek, it says that Hordis preserved the body of the last daughter of the Chashmonaim by putting it in honey. So there, the Shor Mitzvah Balacha brings the same kasha, that honey changes things, it doesn't preserve it. Then he brings the chilek, something which is totally immersed in the honey, and something which sticks out. If there's air that gets to it, even if it's a whole thing, so then it melts. But if it's totally immersed, then it doesn't melt. I think, if I recall correctly, Chafetz Chaim in his Hakdama to Likutei Halachis writes that Torah is nimshel to dvash. And if someone immerses himself totally in Torah, so it preserves, it gives him a kiyum. But he writes there about the other midah, that Torah changes you into, dvash changes you into dvash. So he says if you totally immerse yourself in Torah, so you become the shtickle Torah also. What? You become Torah, you become Teres Nifshel. Sif Yud Gimel is dvash enough l'boi namalim, dvash into which insects have fallen, yechamemenu, heat it up at shei nitach until it melts. Yisanenenu, and I don't know how you sift honey. Yisanenenu, are there sifters for honey?
When it's hot,
maybe when it's hot, it's more liquidy. And okay, and you sift it, and then everything is good.
Why isn't that being
mevatlus lechatchila? So what's the teretz we already said?
No, but he's doing it for that reason.
So the taz here in Sifkat Yudches says ein kamevatl isa lechatchila. That his kavana is to be misakin the dvash, not because he wants the raglay devoir the namalim in it, the sakin hadvash. It's all unclear if he means. They normally heat it to make it uniform. That's the normal to cook honey.
So maybe the chiddush is that if you want to get rid of it, it's also not mevatel.
You're being misanin it. You're removing the issue.
What? When you misanin is good, yes. Yeah, but apparently, sinan enough is not enough. It seems.
Yichamenu chei nitach v'yisanin. That was the point. Let's say if something falls into a less than treatment, you marve. Would it be the same thing? You're not putting it on the
cup. Okay, it depends if you sakin here means you are misakin the isser, or it means you are misakin the honey.
I want to misakin the thing that.
From the isser Shabbai.
No, I'm not talking about the isser. I want to misakin what it answered.
Okay, so you want to take the isser off the thing it answered. So I don't think that's what he means. I think he means, Kavrasi is a sakin advash, and advash gets cooked in order to be used. So since it gets cooked, it can be used anyway. But that's why it's mutter. Well, both cases, it's you're being mavat. Well, it's also halacha. You're taking the barrier, you're melting a regularized barrier.
But
I think that's what it means, that he wants to... You're saying he's doing it only so he could do sinu. That's what he's saying.
Not how the
Shach
and
Tag
are learning. The
Shach
and
Tag
are both learning the same
thing. Well, they don't say. They're a little ambiguous in their language. They say, they don't say more than that. Look in the Yad Avraham. Let's see how he brings it. The first Yad Avraham, the Vashadaf Lubay Namolim Yechamemenu. Loyavim Mavatal Isaela Loichloi. Ava Kishemiskav Lahatir Haheter. Ulahafrid mimenu iser mutter. You don't. He sounds like he's taka saying you don't want to make the devarim. You're not looking to make the devarim consumable. You're looking to make the honey mutter. That's what it sounds like he's saying. That taka that you just don't want the iser of the devarim, but you're taka doing it in order to make the whole thing mutter. That's what the language certainly sounds like. Boiling, because what you're doing is you're taking the nemalim, which otherwise would be a barrier, and you're breaking them down. They should be ice barrier, and then they're bottle. Till now they're not bottle, because they're a complete barrier. Now they're going to be bottle.
Actually, it doesn't mean that it should be liquid.
But then there'll be no kasha that you're being mevatelisser. What's the question, mevatelisser? What's the kasha mevatelisser? Obviously, something's going to be bottle in there. Your kavana,
not the part that dissolved, but the part that he's breathing out. That's what you're
calling. Okay, fine.
To break it.
Well, you're saying two different things. You're saying the kavana is to melt it. He's saying the kavana is to make it sievable, to make it strainable. So, if that's the case, okay. What?
To separate.
You certainly want to separate Yisan and Enu. That's what they're saying. That maybe the kavana is that you want to be able to separate to see the Pesach Tshuva is also Nachlas Tzvi, which is written by him. Let's see, the Nachlas Tzvi brings a Nadi Yehuda who disagrees, and he brings an interesting raya. But before we read it, I just want to remind you of something we learned a while ago in the end of Siman Tzadik Tes. We had the Rajbas Kula. Like Yehuda will bring this case in Siman Tzadik Tes as a kasha. We had it the last sif in Tzadik Tes. The Rajba said that if you have a bliya in a keli, have a spritz of milk that spritzes onto a pot, and it's a fleshing of pot, you want to cook your cholent in it, but it's got a spritz of milk on the keli, and was beleya into the keli. Well, we know that when you're going to cook the cholent in the pot, you're going to have shishim against that little dot of milk that hit the side. So the Rajba said that devarim shemishtamshim b'shefa, something that's normally used with large amounts, you have a large pot, and the normal use of that pot is shishim against the spritz. So the Rajba shita was that there's no problem of eimavat l'nisalachatchila. You're allowed to cook in the pot because every time you cook, it'll be batel b'shishim. If it's something which is sometimes used with a smaller amount, even if you're going to use it with a larger amount, it's still also afraid to use it with a smaller amount. But any time you use it with a larger amount, you're allowed to use it because mishtam shim b'shefa, we're not afraid it'll be nice in town. So Nadi B'Yehuda is going to ask from there onto our case. Let's see his kasha. Nachasvi was written by Pisrei Tshuva. The long pieces that he didn't want to put into the Pisrei Tshuva, he put separately in Nachasvi. Devasha naflu by Nemalim Yichamemenu. So he says, Ayin Taz Vishach, Dein Zemivat Lisser, Kim Dein Kavanase Lekach. That's what the Shach and Taz say. Rakim kavar nisarev. Ela shadai elayin is battle. For who I say is a davar, I day zem is battle. When, zaktatas, when are we allowed to be makel? Only if the thing is already mixed in, just there wasn't bottle, and you're doing something to make it be bottle. Azlina basa kavana, shema kavana levatel, asa. Merkavana davar acher, mutter. See if your kavana is for something else, and mamela it's going to be bottle, then it's mutter. But lechatchila, to be mevatel something, if that's what you want to do, so then he says that's awesome. V'rayel gedayla ledavar mimashikosav harashba huva biyaradeis mitzadik tesif yudalid and simchal tesif hay isemuot shenivla b'kli shein dakei l'shtameish b'davar buit. A small amount of iser that's below on the walls of a keli that's not used with small amounts mutal l'shtameish b'ay gam bezeh. And even in that kula of the Rashba, the Ra argues the Achelkin. But a keli that's used sometimes in small amounts, also lishdamish by, you're certainly not allowed to put in a lot. So what's the case there? A person has a bli of milk on his pot, and he wants to go make a cholent. Now this pot is sometimes used with a davar mu'it. Now he's not using it with a davar mu'it. He's putting in a lot of cholent. He wants to be mevat to put in enough cholent that spritz of milk will be bottled. You think he wants to get milk taste into his cholent? That's not his kavana. Rak levashul ba'akadera lechol ba'akaira. He wants to do his cook. He doesn't want the milk in the pot. He just wants to cook in the pot or eat in the plate. Elevada. Shadavka bidavisha kvarnis aravitiru. Something is already mixed in. You have a heter and make kavanasi levatu. Avala arev mitchila. But to cause the issa to be misarev in the first place. Av shen kavanasi rak lishtamish bakli. Aser akam lishayna. So he says, we see it's aser. You're not allowed to take a pot that has a small blia and cook it with 60 times what it has. That's aser. Why is it aser? Because because you're being mavlas lechatchila. So Zakta Nav Yehuda, we see that it's aser. So clearly, in a case where you're cooking it, like we said in previous times, because honey needs to be cooked, and then you mavakli yisam emela, so that everyone is ma'idit smotim. But here, the reason you're cooking it is in order to take away the yisr, in order to make it mutter. So that the Yehuda disagrees, and he holds it to us.
That shows us what the Shach and Taz are saying.
That shows really what the Shach and Taz are saying. Now, the Nachas Tzvi himself answers the Nadi Yehuda's kasha. He says, if you're medayik, that's not what it says. If you're medayik, there, the reason you're not allowed, on something that you don't normally use b'shefa, you're not allowed to use it with 60 times as much. It's a gezeira because you might use it with less. It's not because of aim of vatlin is not chilah. So that at the end of this nachlas tzvi, time is that's not true. The reason is because of a gezeira you might use it with less. But be'etzem he holds that it's takamutter, even though your kavana is only to get rid of the isser. As long as your kavana is not that the isser should give taste to the heter, he holds that this is mutter. So this is the machlokes here by heating up the vash and nafla by nevalim.
It's doing something to get rid of the
iser
is not called being
mevatel. What they're saying is, when is there an iser? If I'm mevatel lechatchila, I want the iser to go into the I want the iser in the taruvis. But if I don't want the iser in the taruvis, then there's no iser. I'm sorry, I'm saying it wrong. Because when it's bottle, nobody really wants it. It means that any time your kavana is to be mevatel the iser, Nadi Yehuda holds it's awesome. Period. If your kavana is to be mevatel the iser, it's awesome. And b'di'evet, it's mutel. Chetchila, it's awesome. Shach and Taz say that if your kavana is to save the heter, that's mutel. The kavana is to save the heter, then it's mutel.
What does that mean? What does it mean to
say that? The heter right now has the ragla nemolim in it, and I have no way to get it out. So now the only way for me to make the heter usable is through heat, to be mechamim it and make it strainable, or to be mechamim it and find a way to make him mutter.
Well,
so that maybe
that.
I'm not sure. Maybe the pshat is that by heating it, it gets liquidy, and then you can strain it.
But is that what you would do anyway? I mean,
I'm just talking about,
is that because you would do that anyway in the normal process, or is that what you're doing?
It doesn't seem to be, because I don't think so.
You're doing this to get.
That's what it sounds like. In order to be able to strain the
Namala.
It's in already, you're not putting it in.
It's
in already, but it's
in already.
Okay, Sif Yudalit, let's move on. Chite mituloim. Now gives you an etzah with the wheat that's wormy. Chite mituloim, mutul atoichdan. You're allowed to grind chitim that are wormy. Vushi yirakir hakemach la'or hayayim. You have to do it in bright light. In other words, you grind it and then you examine the flour in the bright light, the chola toilash, yirasham, yizrekenu vashar mutter. And you check it and it's mutter. So if you check it and it's mutter, what's he telling you? You're allowed to grind it. So they explain the taz in tez, yotes, mutter latoichlon, that toiloim borchin bishas tchina. The mitzias of toiloim is when they're in a grinding machine that they run away to the, they run out of the, mixture, they run to the wall of the spout. So it's like two sveikas, and in the chaf he explains as two sveikas. Taschav chol tilashi yirasham yizrikenu. Nira, hoda shar muter hatam dayes svek sveikas. By grinding it, we create a svek sveikas. Safik ein sham. Maybe after you grind it, there aren't any. There aren't any there. In Tinsalai Yesham, Safik Dimuch Bisha Safiya. So the first thing is maybe by grinding and checking there are no worms. And even if there are worms, maybe the Dimuach Bisha Safiya, Vain Kamavat Lislachatchila, Shekavanasi Raklafis Apas, Boy Lavatel Hatelas, Tinyalis Daiti. That you have here a spec sake. The Taz is Lashitasai, and the mice of the Taz that we learned last week. The Taz held that in baking we also say Safik Dimuach. And Mimele, he says you have a svek sveika. How is it a svek sveika? Because you have to remember the first suffix, maybe there's a talas, maybe not, by itself is no good. If it's muhzik b'talon. You have something which is muhzik b'talon, it wouldn't work. So by grinding it and checking it, lar hayayim, you lower the likelihood of there being a talas there. It's not muhzik b'talon anymore. So that makes it into a suffix. And then when you bake it, so now you have two sveikis, and mimela the two sveikis are mutter. Nimuach in the grinding. I don't know what the metzias is. If these little worms are nimuach, sounds what he's saying that it's not. Let's see shach lamites chita mitiloi magasha idura neviya beisayis of kasa shemati shavi mayri asa meisa kain shesliu chitim. He did the following ma'aseh, that the chitim were wormy, tziva lahilicham linar dunoi, ulashlicham bay. He said that we should throw it into the river. Lairotza lahatia lamaychram laivik echadim. He didn't want to be matted to sell it to a guy. Penyefa pas yim karenu li Yisrael. Shulis Rabbeinu Chaim Kayim. Now that's a hechsher. He said that you have to throw the chitim into the river. And he wasn't even mad to selling it to Goyim because he knew the Goyim in town will bake breads and sell it to the Jews. But Pesach is seeing, Mechen Kibul Mahariv Mi Maharash, Chen Hevi Vitaras Chatas, Hashem Aram, Mechen Ovi Chuvas Maimini, Bisi Vehetim Shem Aram. These are all being Machmir. But now, this Sif is a Chumas Hadesha. What we learned here, this Eitz of grinding it, is a Chumas Hadesha, Mahari. They all threw the chitim into the river. And here the Chumah Sadeshan says, grind it and check it. L'ar hayayim. And even if he was arguing with all of these gedolim, how could the Shulchan Aruch pass in Lahaku? So what's going on here? So there are two different cases. Hanach paiskim ma'iri kishay mitulayim b'raiv binyin di'i efshal. They're talking, there are so many that it's EF should to check it. Then we don't rely on the tzedadim that the Trumas Hadeshim found to be mekel. Because he only was mekel, assuming that you'll check it also before tchina. Doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch, but here he says you look it up in the Trumas Hadeshim of a guy shaydu lehedya. Where it's only chashash u'meikel. When there's so many worms, meaning the yeshel of Aaron, that even if you're going to grind it and check it, you still be mosu petaloyim. So then, apparently there are two levels of the infestation in chitim. If it's so infested that even after tchina and being buried, it'll still be mosu petaloyim. And remember, mosu petaloyim just means that in each serving or in each keli, you'll be one worm. That's mosu petaloyim. So then it's aser. And Shumas Hadeshin is talking where it's not so infested, where after you check it, it's only going to be a miyatamotsu, but it's not going to be rife. Then you can rely on the Svek Sveika, which is the one who said all along that the Svek Sveika is only mutter if it's a miyat hamotsui in the first place.
They put it into the river so that the guy could not sell it to the guy because we're afraid that they would resell it. Did they buy stuff from the guy anyway?
Bread was always bought from Gaia. It had to be in a place where stam wheat was not Mosu Petaloyim, and there was a shipment of wheat that sat around for a while, and it was. But you're right. Bag of flour. Well, it's true, but if you see worms in the flour, don't use it. If you wait long enough, you'll see, because the eggs are there, but nachinani. Generally, I mentioned once that the one of the tumults over bugs in the flour came from people who found bugs in flour, but there were bugs that had stayed around for a while, and there was not in the regular flour. But today, unfortunately, because of ethanol, the flour is very fresh. The silos of wheat that were sitting for years are no longer sitting for years today. Today became suddenly a shortage of... it's not a shortage of flour. For the economy, it's no good, but for the bugs, it's wonderful. For the worms, it's a better situation. Yeah. Yashem may become more of a problem. It's true. You know, I don't know today that there's a shortage. I know there's a shortage, but I think the speculation is that's driving up the price is that... He's doing it, but I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. Time will tell. It's all the Jews' fault. Sif Tesvav. Now, I don't know what this Mitzias is. I'll read the words to you. Apparently, there's a question, when is something a bird and when is something a flying bug? How big a flying bug becomes a bird? So I don't know. Mine eifis hagedilim bi'ilan. The types of birds that grow on a tree. B'tluyim bi'ilan b'chartoy mehem. And they hang from the tree by their beaks. By their beaks. Asurim mishum sheretz asheretz al oretz. Bats hang from the feet. Right. Asurim mishum sheretz asheretz al oretz. If anybody serves this stuff to you, it's a sheretz, sheretz, al
oretz. What's the difference in how many bottom there are?
No, you can't shech the sheretz in either. You can shech the bird.
It's a trafe bird.
It's a trafe. I don't know.
It's a kosher bird.
It's shech mem aleph. Mishal pasak. Mishal perk arvait. It's a mitzvah pasak. Kamar nechem shevetam. Du mutar b'shchita. As kamas apayski kabachaber. Chedas achrayin. Chedas achrayin. Chedas achrayin. Chedas
achrayin. Chedas achrayin.
We need a Kabbalah for birds. The minig is to require Kabbalah. The technically speaking, there are simanim for birds. The Gemara gives simanim and what? Anodiris, and the way it walks on a string, if it has a third finger on it, three simanim. What?
Stuck,
I think a woodpecker is a bird.
Many,
Siftezai. We'll have to wait for our scroll to translate the. This has come from the Soga Sarai.
It may come to you to translate it.
You know what they do when they're not sure? They just transliterate.
Right.
The problem is it doesn't have a name for these birds here. Minei Oifis Agadeolam. It doesn't say that name. Okay, Sif Tezayin is an important Sif. There are three categories of worms mentioned in this simon. The first three sifim of the simon dealt with worms in water. Worms, I mean bugs, creatures in water. That was the first three sifim. The next 12 sifim dealt with worms either in wheat or in other produce, the things that grow. So Cheretz Hamayim, we had Cheretz Oretz. We had these two types of shrotzim. There's a third type of Cheretz, and these are shrotzim that are found in living creatures, in fish or animals. I have not heard in today's times of any issue with worms in the chicken or the meat that we have. However, there are in fish today worm issues. Let me just, before we learn what it says here, there are two types of worms that we're going to discuss. There's one type which breeds in the flesh of the animal. I'm not talking about things that spoil and get wormy because they're decaying. I'm talking about even in a living animal. There are creatures which breed in the flesh of the animal, which we're going to discuss. And then there are worms which are in the stomach of the fish, the stomach of the animal. In other words, either the animal eats things that are wormy, or somehow worms, we know there are certain diseases that come from worms that breed in the stomach. And there are worms in the stomach. Today, when it comes to whitefish and other types of fish, there are issues with worms. This issue came to the forefront how many years ago? It was about 15 years ago. There was a big tumult about it. I remember going to the fish store, buying two whole fish, and taking it to Yeshiva for Rafelski to open up. Question then was whether the problem with the fish were the worms in the fish or the worms in the stomachs. Now, nobody eats the stomachs. When you go to a bris and they have a white fish, it's amazing. If a white fish has no stomach, you know, you can eat the whole thing. But of course, the bottom is slit and there's a cavity, and that cavity contains the amazing, the fly sabayre, contains a whole life-sustaining unit where the fish can breathe and eat and digest and expel its waste. What it seems is that the worms that are the issue today are issues with worms in the stomachs of the fish. We don't eat the stomachs. If the stomach is slit and the stomach, that is the belly, is slit and the stomach is removed, there is no problem. The problem is when a fish is put on a cutting board and it's sliced up, and then they remove the stomach. The worms spritz all over the place, and together with everything else that's in the stomach. Now you'll ask, why would anybody in their right mind do it that way? It's much easier to slit the stomach and remove the stomach in one shot, and not to cut it this way. So it seems the ladies like when they serve whitefish. A typical piece of whitefish is shaped sort of like a tooth with two roots down, you know what I mean? Is that what it looks like? Right, like a crown, and then the two roots coming down. Traditionally, the two pieces are not connected because they slit the stomach, and that's the stomach, right? Imagine a whitefish. You cut it into slices. So each slice looks like a piece with, on the bottom, a horseshoe sort of on the bottom. That horseshoe, that cut is the slit, and that's where the stomach and the inner avarim were. It seems to be very important for some women that bottom be connected.
Yeah,
that's more...
You can't fill it,
okay, whatever it is, all the reasons, that it should be whole. In order to make it whole, the people in the store have to cut the fish and then pull out the stomach and leave it whole.
Then they wash it.
And cutting the fish, the worms sometimes come out. And they come out not only onto the fish, onto the cutting board, and onto the knives.
And
mamela, they come out, and it's apparently not so easy to get rid of them. And then there's a problem. That's where the problem comes up with the worms. So that's the issue with those types of worms. Let's learn the Shulchan Aruch and see the halacha. Kol Toiloim has imtsan the behema. Any worms that are found in an animal, two types. Bein Shehein Bein Or Labasar. Whether they're the type of worm that exists between the skin and the flesh. Bein Shehein Bimeyeha. Or if they're found in the stomach. Asur. He's saying in an animal, either way, it's asur. Why? So let's see before we get to fish. First he talks about animals. Let's see Shach Membeis, he explains. Bein Shehein. Mishum de behema b'shchita talya nilsa. Behema is mutter only through shchita. V'ulai shegadlu b'soicham atchloi nishchitu bo may iser aver men hachai. These worms, which were created from the basar of the animal, they come from aver men hachai. They're bred from aver men hachai. U'shchita se behema loy mahani luhu. And once they exist separately, shechting the animal doesn't help. Now be careful here. What he's saying is, avakash. We said a shayretz, if it's never shayretz ala aretz, is mutter. If you have a shayretz which is created in a piece of produce, if it wasn't on it when it was on the ground, it's after it was removed, it becomes visible in the produce, then it's mutter. So what's the problem with the worms and the animal? They would never share it al aretz. They're somewhere in the flesh or between the skin and the flesh of the animal. So what's the problem? So the teretz is that their havaya, they came about from the meat of a living creature, of eva menachai. So here you can translate this again. If you hold, there's such a thing as spontaneous generation. So then we're talking about things that are nishava directly from the meat. If you don't believe in spontaneous generation, then it means that it's a zevizegayrim, that the basar of the chai brought about the existence of these bugs. What do they mean? They mean, at least the way the Aruch HaShulchan brings it, they mean the second explanation. The nafkamina will be, if they meant spontaneous generation, that it's mamish eva menachai, then it'll be also to a ben noyach also. Ben noyach is also an eva menachai. If they understand that this is coming from an egg, it's just zeviz agayrim, it's the flesh that causes it to come about, so then it's mutter to a ben noyach. The Aruch HaShulchan brings that these things are mutter to a ben noyach. So apparently they're not saying that the flesh, certainly not living flesh, turns into worms. Even they didn't hold that living flesh turns into worms. And it means that the flesh helps it come into existence. And since it comes into existence, it's a zevizagayrim, it's caused to come into existence by Eivim Menachai. So that has a halacha of Eivim Menachai. And therefore, these worms that are created in the flesh of the animal, they're not ourselves worms, because they would never shayretz ala oretz. But they're osir, also the wisser, also Eivim Menachai, because they came into existence from the living flesh of the animal.
The issue to us would be Eivim Menachai.
That's exactly what the Shas says.
So again, so why would that be with the two goy then at that point?
Because the goy, there's no halacha of Eivim Menachai of Zeviz Agayrim by a goy. The fact that the Eivim Menachai is goyrim is not right. Right, it's not a piece of Eivim Menachai. It's a halacha of Eivim. So he says when Eivim Shadim won't help once it has chius bifnei atzmai. That's what the Shas says. Get him in bay. Shariyem lishchius bifnei atzman. Then it has its own chios. Now the shechita won't help because it's still alive. What? It's Eivim Menachai. It came about from Isser. It came about. Well, you have to remember what is Eivim Menachai. Let's say you have an animal. You feed it chametz on Pesach, and because you fed it chametz, it gives milk. That milk is aser al chametz because the chametz caused the milk to come into existence. Now we don't say the milk is chametz, that if you mix it with water it becomes chitim themselves chametz. It's only if you mix it with water. It's only if you mix it with water. That's what we're talking about. we're saying that the goyrim was an iser, so kol habamin the iser aser. And that comes from iser is itself aser. Right? That's what goyrim means. Kol habamin the iser is aser.
So the iser is
chay. This is sefer v'rachay. What?
The iser is chay.
Right.
Once
you shechted, no, but once you, if the Eva Menachai made this into Isser, and now I take it away, you know what it's like? Let's say I have meat that's not salted, and it gives bli into a keli. It's not a keli's treif. If I'm going to salt the meat, it's not going to make the keli mutter. The keli was already balaya meat that had blood in it. The same thing. This creature came from meat that had life in it. Once it came from something that had life in it, it's awesome. Now you're going to take the life out of the creature. It's no different than salting meat after it gave a bloody blia into something. The same thing. No, they were talking about worms that we know. These are types of worms that come about when it's alive. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about types of worms which come from a chai.
Can we say that because it's
it's itself also because it comes from a davar chai.
But what about milk?
What?
Milk itself.
All milk. So the hetaka, the kash is, the Gemara says, how do you know milk? All milk is even a chai, the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, which pasuk? So Gemara brings two pasukim. What's the other pasukim? It brings a pasuk from by David. When David was sent by his father before the story of Goliath, he's sent by his father to visit his brothers who are in the army. He brings them cakes of cheese. So from there we learn that it's mutter. It's a bit of a pella. We learn it from there, not from Eretz Avos Chol V'Dvash. The other man, Yama, says Eretz Avos Chol V'Dvash. So if you want to know the answer, I think 19 years ago we said, and I found the teretz, why learn it from David? I don't remember what the teretz was at the moment. But anyway, whatever...
And
not sure.
Okay, I don't know. What did you feed the behemoth some of the stuff? So the behemoth comes after them?
The flesh of the behemoth. That's what you mean.
What do you feed him out of some kind of mixture which has
if you feed an animal treifis, it's totally in Zevzai Gaim, it's totally in that sugya. If it's bottle, it's bottle. It's not. It's not. The Shach talks about a shlil, right? Well. No, you mean if you feed an animal Eva Berachai, the animal itself is anyway chai. Like when you shecht it, it's matir it, which is what he says about the shlil of the shem. Right? Eva Berachai is but you mean no, if you feed him treifus. Feed him treifus, rachinami, so it's a problem. Then it's zevzeh gairim. If that's the primary feed, all you do is feed a treifus. With what?
With veal.
No, veal was different.
With milk?
I don't think so. Veal was a treifus issue. Okay, back to the Shulchan Aruch. What about fish? So that's by animals. Both types of worms are also. And with some bidogim, those that are found in fish, bimeayim, asurim. Those that are in the stomach are mutter. In arlabasar, besechabasar, mutar. By fish, if you find it in the skin, there it's mutter. Why isn't it also al tevim and achai? There's no evim and achai by fish. You want to eat a whole goldfish while it's alive? I think you're having about the shatsu, it says. But otherwise, those of us remember from the 60s, right?
Yeah,
they used to eat whole goldfish. Only in college. Vafilu pirish kitsas, chidish. Well, the phone goes right. Vafilu pirishu kitsas, v'chozru, mutarim. Kichem rivisayim. Even if they're pirish kitsas, I don't know how much is pirish kitsas on a bug, but it jumps back and forth. These types of worms jump around. Those that grow in the meat of fish or in meat or fish or even cheese. Afterwards, mutarim kos mashloi pirshu. This is the same klal we had the whole simon. Something that's created in water. Now it's created in Paris is mutter. Hilchach Tilam and some Bekaira. Shadaflu with Abasa Mutarim. Ladasa Matirin. Funny expression. Those are mutter. Ladasa Matirin, if you hold that it's mutter Lach Hashchita. We'll see who argues in a minute. L'das HaMatirim. V'ushe Pirish Meis. That's only if it's Pirish Meis. Because if it's Pirish Chai, then it's already Sharetz Al Aretz. V'lech Hashinon. We not to be Chai Shishem Pirishu Mechayim. Chutz L'mechaticha. The Mestam Oysem Shepirishu Mechayim. Nofalu Kishedichu Abasam. Because those that Pirish Mechayim, when you wash it off, will fall off. And those that cling to the meat will stay on the meat. So we have here a kula that, as I say, I don't think it's on the geya, but maybe someday there'll be a tumul about worms that are the sava in the fish, meat or cheese later. So those we say in the Shulchan Aruch Hamotim. Except, I think this is a Rambam shita. Yesh misha oisir atlam mesava machashchita mikol dover atoad shchita. The Rambam shita is that the worms that are mishava la'achashchita are osir, v'nagul lahakel kesvar rishayna. But in this machlokes, the Rambam is a das yachid, and the minig is to be mekel like the first shita. What is? Wait a second. So that's the Rambam's chum. The Rambam holds that the mishava bebasa is osir, and he's a das yachid. So the Rambam, oynai again. B'teiloim shel gavina la'ichlon, worms that are in cheese, to eat them. They say Swiss cheese used to come from worms that made the holes. Is that true?
No.
They just took a hole puncher and made the holes. A drill? What? Bacteria. Okay, bacteria. La'igim b'teiloim shel gavina la'ichlon. The minig is to eat these worms. Afu pisha kaifsim heina behena ala gavina. I wouldn't need it if something was jumping back and forth. But the minig is to be matir. Aval, no, on the fish, to jump back and forth on the fish. Aval and Pirshul Lagabri, but what's the Pirshul Lagabri? Oyser and Oyser, Miu. In this Aravu Bishar Michael, Vloy Chayl Lassir Mishar, Ain Oyser by Michael, Kiesh Matir and Oyser Bechalin. There's Yesh Matir that's mouth of these worms, no matter what. Why should that be Mutter, no matter what? Why is this Yesh Matir and Michael? It's an Issa Veheter. What's the tzad kula? So look at the Gra Mem Zayin. He says, what's the tzad kula on these worms? The dafka be gedulei karka. Af betolosh yisru bishm sheretz asheretz al aretz. Vashenke be'eve gedulei karka de lesbu eleve menachai. V'nintzoyim be'behema b'chayeha. The Rav Yah. The Rav Yah holds that the Isser is only Isser al teve menachai on something that's osir. But something that comes later, that's mutter. If you look at this of a heter, he has here a tremendous chiddush lahakel. What he says is that all worms are only osir if they're shayrates from something natural. Worms that come derech sirchayim, because things are spoiling, those worms are not the worms that the Torah asked. They're not sheretz or sheretz al aretz. As I state in the Yisav Heter, this is the Yesh Matirin. There's a tremendous tumul over the Yisav Heter. The Brit Chodesh has a richus here that Chas V'Shalom to say it, the Yisav Heter never said it. But the Shulchan Aruch here says that these worms that are nishave in cheese, even if it was pirish, once it mixes into a taruvis, you're allowed to be soymech on the making mekima v'tev lahach b'makam shein hef simruva. Al Kaponim, what do we learn? That worms that are in fish and animals, basically that come from the stomachs. When I brought the fish to Rebelski to cut open, there was a big nafkamina. If the worms are coming from the stomachs, then it's awesome. If they were not coming from the stomachs, if they were coming from the flesh of the fish itself, then they're mutter. Because worms that are nishava in the flesh of fish, our mutter, they would never share its aloras, they would never share its alamayim if they came into existence in the fish. And that's a tremendous nafkamina. But what we saw was that they came from the stomachs, at least.
Why is your stomach sharing?
Because the stomachs it comes into the animal. It was already sharing its alamayim, the animal swallowed it.
Oh,
the fish swallowed it. Yeah, like the Taz says, Ba derech nechirav, breathed it in. I don't know why he says he breathed it in, he said he ate it. But Shechmem Gimel. They come from Amazon. One last sif, Yudzayin, Sheretz, Saruf, burnt shrotzim, yum yum, mutala echlai. We have here a kula, don't think we are only a chumriz, a burnt sheretz you're allowed to eat, mishum refuah, ta'afra ba'almahu, it's burnt, it turns into ash, And Afra Baalma apparently was some type of known refuah in their day, and that's what. Yeah, it seems it turns to offer. That itself is a baking. If it turns to offer, everyone would agree. If it becomes a little crispy, I guess that was the machlokes, the Taz and the others. Next week, if it's Hashem, we are going to learn Simanei Chagavim, which you have in your copies. It's a 1 week limud, and anybody who has any grasshoppers.
Bring them in.
Yeah, someone, if you know, if someone remembers, yes, Dr. Babbage, to bring in some grasshoppers. Yeah, he would.